I'm Indy Todd. Welcome to The Point. Later in the hour, we look at some of the restaurants that have come and gone on Cape Cod, and we talk with local author Anne LeClaire about her new novel, The Halo Effect. But first,
Peter Abrahams, a.k.a. Spencer Quinn, joins us to talk about his new novel, The Right Side. Good morning. Good to see you, as always.
Thank you, Mindy.
All right, so for listeners who are not familiar with the Spencer Quinn story, tell us how you came to write under both the Spencer Quinn name and the Peter Abrahams name.
Okay, well, I was born under the Peter Abrahams name.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I don't know how old I was when they gave it to me, but my earliest memory of being called by my parents was Pete. So I've written in my career, which began under Peter Abrahams, I wrote many, many, all in the crime fiction area, novels of suspense and amateur sleuth, the whole gamut, both for adults and children. Then one day, my wife said, you should do something with dogs.
Because you have dogs in a lot of your stories.
I've had dogs in a lot of my stories, and I love, dogs would appear. They were even remarked upon by reviewers, my dogs. Now, and that's as far as I'll come to quoting from my own reviews. It's really a bad thing to do. But my wife said, you should do something with dogs. And I suddenly knew that I hadn't written from the point of view of a dog, ever. It was always on the outside. Also, I'd never written in the first person. All my books up until that point were third person close, as I call it, where you really, you're almost like you're on the shoulder of the character. You're not quite in the head, but you're not, it's not omniscient type of thing either. And I thought I would like to see if I could write from the point of view of a dog. And I knew right away, I think the most important thing about what became the Chet and Bernie series was that this dog would not be a talking dog, would not be a dog that knew things a dog shouldn't know. It would be as canine. He became Chet, and he would be as canine as I could make him. So after my wife said that, I went over to my office above the garage, and I wrote the first chapter of what became, the first page of what became Dog on It. And I came back to the house. My wife read it. We voted 2-0 that it worked. Well, no, you laugh, but if the kids had been home, we might have lost 4-2, right? And there wouldn't have been a Chet and Bernie series. But if the series works, it's because the Chet is not, is as purely canine as I could make him. Yeah. So when I sent that book in to my agent, she thought, what is this?
This is not your normal writing.
It's not you. Yeah. And she thought, for the book to find its audience that she thought was out there, we should try a pen name. So suddenly this pen name, Spencer Quinn, took over my life, and all my dog-oriented stuff is under Spencer Quinn. Okay. So that includes the Chet and Bernie series and the Bowser and Birdie for middle grade kids.
And we should say, but this book, The Right Side, your new book, is nothing like Chet and Bernie or, you know, Bowser and Birdie. There is a mystery here. The dog in this story, we're not inside the dog's head like we are with your other dog books. But there is some mystery in this book, but it's much more than a mystery. How do you describe this book?
Gee, I wish I didn't have to answer that question. It's very tough. Well, let me go back to the dog who's on the cover of The Right Side, so you know there's a dog. But no, this book is written in third person close. And the main character is Leanne Hogan, this badly wounded vet who comes home from Afghanistan. And the dog actually doesn't appear till about, over halfway through the story. You know what? I think it's a combination of several things, this book.
I thought so too. Yeah.
It's a war novel. Mm-hmm. It's, I suppose, a novel about post-traumatic stress syndrome. It's a road novel. It's a kind of buddy novel, and it's a mystery. Mm-hmm. And that just happened. I set out to write as a mystery, but it just went in many ways the way it wanted. Mm-hmm. It's like a stagecoach, you know, with Slim Pickens up on the box, and I'm Slim Pickens, and there's an 8-horse team, and they're very powerful and willful. And that's what it was like. I had to control this book, but it really demanded to be written
right.
by me, and I did my best to control it.
Before I go back to the book again, so why did you decide to write this one under Spencer Quinn and not Peter Abrahams?
Well, I thought I should do it as Peter Abrahams, mm-hmm. but in the publishing world, they thought because of the dog. Yeah, there were meetings about this.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't attend.
You didn't get your vote.
But this is, to people who've read my Peter Abrahams work, they'll know probably right away who wrote this.
Oh, yes.
But I think that the dog people will be attracted to it too, mm-hmm. although it's much darker.
It's much different. And I was going to say you always amaze me because you've written, you know, you've had your 13-year-old protagonist, and like, so you're in the head of a 13-year-old girl. You know, you've had your male characters, your female characters, your dogs, and you always seem to get just the right head that you think, how do you switch those hats? How do you I guess know these perspectives when you are not a 13-year-old girl, you're not this woman veteran. How do you do that?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, it goes fundamentally to a problem that's being discussed all the time now in many ways, because we have all these issues of cultural appropriation and things like that. What is fiction all about? I mean, and the imagination plays a role. You can only learn so much about technique. And I'm a human being. And so I think I have a right to write about other human beings. I'm also a mammal. So I think I can do mammals. And I also, with the dogs, well, I love dogs. Mm-hmm. I have a strong feeling for them. And I think if I can't do it, then the readers will see false notes.
Oh, no, you feel like you're, I mean, if you're a dog lover and you read those Chet and Bernie's, you are laughing. I mean, but some of the things that happen, they're such dog moments.
They're dog moments. So I just think it's no, I'm not a woman, but I've known some women.
You've got some in your life.
Yeah. And I have two daughters and a wife.
So do you run things by them to get a woman's perspective when you're doing
this? Well, my wife reads everything mm-hmm. I read chapter by chapter, and she's my toughest. I can't put anything over on her at all, you know, with fancy pants writing or
right.
little technical tricks. I mean, she just, those don't work on her. So it's a real gift for me to have.
All right. So you mentioned Leanne Hogan. She comes home from serving in Afghanistan, a very different person, both physically and mentally. She lost an eye. Half of her face is badly scarred. She also has some memory issues. Not surprising. She's confused and angry. How did you think up this character, and why did you decide to go with a woman?
Well, I've been writing these. Okay, Chet and Bernie and Bowser and Birdie, I mean, they're mysteries. One an amateur sleuth type, the other a professional detective, the Chet and Bernies. But if you step back, I would have to characterize, there are dark things certainly in the Chet and Bernies, but stepping back, I'd characterize the mood as comic. Mm-hmm. They're comedies. And I love writing comedies. It makes me feel good. But things are going on in the world. And there's no, I'm not a news junkie or political junkie, but there's no ignoring these things. And the character just of Leanne Hogan just came to me. Mm-hmm. And I think it was probably, I was responding to things you see in the news about these wounded veterans in Walter Reed Army Hospital. And the sacrifice that these people are making in a not very well understood series of conflicts that we have. The only thing that's for sure is that these really are conflicts, mm. desperate and grave conflicts, and so much of our population isn't touched by them. And out on the sort of tip of the spear, as they say, are these young people who are hardly ever our most educated or anything like that, who are actually in the heart of the conflict.
Yeah.
And I just thought I would write about someone like that.
Did you serve in the military?
No, I did not.
And the reason I ask that is because Leanne often refers to this bond military members feel, especially in a war situation, and how quickly that bond develops. And it rang so true, I just wondered if that was a true experience.
No, it isn't. But I have certainly known, I mean, and know military people, and that was mm-hmm. very valuable in writing the book. And and I sent it to two highly experienced vets, just so that they could critique every mm-hmm. little bit of weaponry that
Make sure
is
you're
in
right.
there.
Yeah.
Not. I mean, I don't fetishize any of this weaponry or anything like that, but it's got to be accurate.
Right. It's got to be accurate. So Leanne, no doubt, is suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, but she doesn't welcome any kind of formal treatment. Why?
She doesn't welcome any formal treatment. Well, I think the answer to that is probably in her upbringing. And, of course, the novel goes into her upbringing. Mm-hmm. There are, although it proceeds in the present, there are, I guess they're flashbacks, but they don't even almost feel like flashbacks to me. When my editor first saw it, he said, the way you come in and out of time, it reminded me of Philip Glass music. Mm. Well, I didn't know anything about Philip Glass music. I didn't know whether to take that as a compliment or not. But when you go back into her earlier life, and so her father was a military man, and her father taught her how to shoot, and her father taught her how to be tough at a very early age, even though he himself was essentially not nearly as tough as Leanne.
Right.
In the
end. She's one tough cookie,
and a broken
and
a broken man. Yeah.
Yeah. She forms a bond with her hospital roommate Marcy, who suddenly dies. And this sets Leanne on this journey to Marcy's small hotel in Washington State. Why do you think Leanne needed to go there?
That's a great question. I think there are several reasons. One is she needed to go somewhere wet. All these terrible things that she's from Arizona. She grew up dry, as it were, you know, with this strange father. The most terrible thing that happened in her life, but also this sort of secret affair that no one can ever know about, but that ended horribly, also happened, you know, in Afghanistan, in a dry place. And Marcy, she knows from Marcy, these conversations they had, that it's a wet place. And I think she needed to go to a wet place. But the other thing, she formed a bond with Marcy that was actually on the road to, in a funny way, saving both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then Marcy was taken.
Gone, yeah.
Gone. But Marcy has this daughter, and you know, Leanne goes on a cross-country trip. I mean, she sees her mom on the way back. A lot of things that have been left open are now re-examined in her whole life. But I think she needed to go see where Marcy was from and meet that daughter.
I was gonna say, she didn't know about the daughter until she gets there. She finds out about this 8-year-old daughter who's gone missing.
Well, she knows. She finds out when she gets there that the daughter's gone missing.
Oh, she
knows.
She didn't know.
Yes,
okay.
Marcy tells her she has a daughter.
Okay, and at the same time, this stray dog enters her life. It's interesting that Leanne knows nothing about dogs. She isn't interested in becoming a dog owner, but this dog has other ideas.
This dog has other ideas. I'm not even sure I should say the name of the dog.
Because don't say the name. No.
I won't say the name. Thank you.
Because it doesn't have a name.
Thanks for
it doesn't have a name for a long time.
It doesn't. The dog does not have an. It's a she. I mean, we can say that.
Yeah.
The dog doesn't have a name for a long time, and the dog comes into her life. This dog is not a roly-poly, fuzzy-wuzzy kind of friendly dog at all. And I think this dog is aggressive and
big
and strong and hard to know, and forms an attachment with Leanne. I think Leanne actually throws a rock at this dog, not hitting the dog, but just to make it go away. And it lands in this pond near where Leanne is staying, in these sort of cabins in the woods in Washington. And the dog goes in, unbeknownst to Leanne, who's gone back inside the cabin, and Leanne finds the stone. The dog has retrieved it from the pond, and the stone is now on her doorstep. The dog thinks they're playing fetch.
Yeah.
And a bond very, very slowly and reluctantly is formed.
Yeah. What do you think it is that the dog sees in Leanne?
Oh, that's a great, great question. I think the dog...
they're a lot alike in some ways, yeah.
I think see someone alike, but also someone who this dog can help.
I was going to say need.
Yes, there's a need.
She doesn't realize she needs the dog, but the dog realizes.
Yes, and the dog, yes, she doesn't, and the dog realizes, and this, I think, is something about dogs. Mm-hmm. It's so wonderful about them. Even a dog like this that is not a cuddly dog sees a need, that it's almost like the job of the dog, and And the dog steps in.
Yeah. She's quite feisty, as is the dog. Even getting into a skirmish with the local sheriff, and you think, what are you doing?
Yes, Leanne is feisty. She's a very, very strong woman.
Tough, yeah. Tough as nails.
Even though what has happened to her, and she is not going to be pushed around. Mm-hmm. Even if being seen to be pushed around, even briefly, would be in her own best interests. And how often does that happen in life, where you just cede, C-E-D-E, mm-hmm. you just give in because, you know, it'll be smoother after
easier,
that.
Easier, yeah.
She never does.
No,
she won't give in.
Yeah. There's this theme of trust that runs through the book. Who and what can you trust?
I mean, I think it goes right back to, you know, what launches this whole thing, which is this war in Afghanistan, where we, the American people, and I think the Afghanis too, don't know who to trust. We're, I think, in a world, and I'm no expert on this, but, you know, I am on the air right now, so I might as well shoot my mouth off. I mean, trust in our polity right now and internationally, we really is at a very low ebb. And, you know, when, you know, Leanne was this fantastic athlete in high school, and in fact, it got her, you know, the West Point scholarship that she actually never takes for reasons mm-hmm. that you see in the book, but she was a pole vaulter. And there's this scene in Afghanistan where she's at this school and she decides that, you know, she's going to teach these little girls. Well, they're not that little. Mm-hmm. They're old enough to be wearing the hijabs. And she's going to teach them pole vault. And there's a scene where, I think it's one of my favorite scenes in the book, where she realizes, oh my God, this can be just a total failure. That it's just, even though she's got the bar set at about 2'6", mm-hmm. it could be a total failure. And the first girl goes over. And she's described, I think, as almost, you know, with her black costume and everything, it's almost, as the girls go over, it's almost like porpoises,
yeah.
you know, going through the air. And so this is a wonderful moment for her because she really thinks that, you know, having the girls of Afghanistan are something that's very important to her, that she realizes while she's there and the state of the women there. And so while this lovely little scene is going on where she's connected for absolute sure and the girls are delighted and she looks up and way on a, you know, one of these bombed in rooftops that she can see is this man watching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a way and that it, just changes right. the whole scene.
Recess is
so,
over.
Yeah, who can you trust?
Yeah, and it comes back even into her civilian life again, and that whole building that trust between the dog and Leanne and all the people around. Again, you don't know who can you trust.
Yes, well, she finds that there's a real dearth of people to trust, starting with the psychiatrist at Walter Reed, and that man she meets in the bar. And a number of other people
yeah.
from her past, even her mom in a way.
Yeah. So when you sit down to write a story like this, I can see this character, Leanne, just kind of taking over and, you know, bringing you in directions maybe you didn't think you were going to go. Do you have this? I think I recall you do an outline, but a lot of authors say this as they get in, they don't know where the story's going to go because they let the character sort of take them there. Is that how you write, or do you have an idea where it's going to end and kind of fill in the blanks?
Well, I have, and it's a
combination.
Why do I have to invent the wheel every time? I really don't know. I don't write much of an outline mm-hmm. because it just, I mean, I don't stick to them. And,
right.
and I know writers, especially in the thriller business, where quality of writing isn't quite as important as the plotting, who spend way more time on the outline than they do on the writing.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I'm the exact opposite. So I find, until I had Leanne up and moving and talking and interacting with Marcy and interacting with the Afghani people and then the other people in the military, including the captain of her unit, who's, mm-hmm. you know, also very important. Until that, in some of the ways, I didn't see, you know, where I knew it was going to be a road book. I set out to make it a road book. She comes back to America and rediscovers her homeland.
Mm-hmm.
From the right side, even though she's only got half her vision left and sees it wholly in a new way.
Yeah. All right, there's one question that didn't get answered, and that is, where did this dog come from? So I wonder, was that intentional, as in you're thinking you're saving it for a sequel, or was it more about the reality that when we adopt a stray animal, we don't know anything about their past usually?
We don't. See, this book is not written in the first person. You never see inside this dog's head. This book is written as all the Peter Abrahams were third person close, but it's sort of a marriage of Peter Abrahams and Spencer Quinn. But the backstory of the dog, you just don't know. But you know, because of that tail, you know that
it
hasn't
bad.
Been very
yes.
good.
Yeah, we'll leave that for people to read in the book.
Yes.
All right. Spencer Quinn, a.k.a. Peter Abrahams. I guess it's the other way around. Peter Abrahams, a.k.a. Spencer Quinn.
Either.
The new book is The Right Side. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Mindy. I appreciate it.
Enjoyed it a lot.
Coming up after a break, author Anne LeClaire joins us.